which expresses this index in terms of K-theory. And now we can use the Chern character and go to the homology and then look what it represents. To understand what it means, one needs to know a little bit about the topology associated to an isolated singular point. Little topology, and so now I specifically want to take a function and with an isolated critical point. So I might represent it by a polynomial or some convergent power series. So it started with a formal power series, but let's say we have a convergent power series, and it converges in some neighborhood and of the origin. And now I can take a sphere or a ball. So we have to go to do some Milner analysis of the topology around such an isolated critical point. So what one can do, one can restrict this function to some ball, a ball of radius epsilon, so this is the point in Cn for which the norm is a closed ball. And this epsilon will be has to be taken sufficiently small. S will be just the boundary of this ball. So this is a sphere, and this is a sphere of dimension. Wait a minute. I take m plus one variables. This is a usual thing in singularity theory, to take n plus 1 variables. You get 2n plus 1 dimensional sphere sitting here. This is B. This is S. And this epsilon is chosen so small that this sphere and all smaller spheres are transverse to the hypersurface F equal zero, to the zero level set. I put Ft is x in that ball, such that Fxt. So this is the fiber of this map, as far as it is running inside the sphere. And of course there are many fibers corresponding to many different values of t. And if I make this sphere so small that it is transverse, so S is transverse to zero fiber, then it is also transverse to the neighboring fibers if this T is small. So we take T in the complex plane such that the T is smaller eta, some small number eta. So, and then what you get is, so here's the complex plane. Here's this disk D. And for all the fibers, the Ft, this fiber Ft is transverse to S for all T in this disk D. So the statement is first I find such an epsilon, and then I find a much smaller eta, such that for all teasing this disk, the fibers here are very close to the zero fiber and they're intersecting the sphere transversely. If I go too far away, you get, of course, that this sphere is touching here, so this is no good. You stay near the singularity, near the singular fiber. Then all these fibers are diffeomorphic. In fact, you get a vibration. So what you get is called Milner vibration. Which is going from X, well, let's call script X epsilon eta is this ball B, which depends on epsilon, intersected with the pre-image of this disk D. So this is this region, and you map it to this disk D. It's just a special representative of this mapping in some open or some set, and then mapping it to D. Sometimes I consider the open subset of this. This is I took the closed subsets. And now for all T, so this is a vibration, C infinity vibration over D star is D remove the origin. So except this one singular fiber, all the nearby fibers are smooth. And so this is the Milner picture. And they form a C infinity fiber bundle. And these fibers here are called Milner fiber. Is FT. Now, the theorem of Milner is that the end Milner theorem states that this Milner fiber has a homotopy type of a bouquet of spheres. FT. Homotopy of spheres of dimension n. Now, these are n-dimensional spheres, and I is 1 to mu. It's a, you can contract this fiber of a union of spheres. So, in particular, the homotopy groups are the homotopy groups of the spheres, or the homology or cohomology groups is just a free lattice of rank mu. And all other homology groups are zero. So the homology groups are in one dimension, except, of course, the zeroed homology group. But apart from that, there is only one homology group in one degree, and it is free z to the power mu. Mu is the number of spheres, and it can be computed algebraically. Mu is the dimension of the C-vector space of the power series ring divided by the Jacobian ideal. So you take the partial derivatives of F. This ring is usually called Jacobian ring or Milner ring, and the dimension is the number of spheres sitting in this fiber. And if I move the fiber to the origin, all these mu spheres contract to the singular point. These are the vanishing cycles. So there are mu vanishing cycles, and for the ordinary double point there's one vanishing cycle, and you have just this cone picture, singular fiber and the nearby smooth fiber where one central sphere is contracted. And Milner's great discovery is that this holds more or less always for any isolated hypersurface singularity. So This is an important picture to have in mind. Now I look at the link of the singularity. This is F0, so the singularity itself, the zero fiber, intersected with the sphere, and I call this L. So it is in the picture, it is the intersection of the singular fiber with the sphere. Now, of course, in reality, this is high dimensional, so the dimension of this is 2 less, because I put 2 real and imaginary part equals 0, 2 equations, so it's a manifold of dimension 2n minus 1. Sitting, so L is a co-dimension 2 manifold of this sphere. Now you can also see if I move with the T towards the zero fiber, then nothing happens near the boundary of the sphere. Only here in the middle, here are these vanishing cycles, they get contracted to the singular point. But on a safe distance of the singular point, nothing happens. So L is isomorphic or homotopy equivalent to the boundary of this Milner fiber. This is L. This is the boundary, which is the same as FT intersected with the sphere. So this is also the same manifold. So there is a contraction mapping from here to here, from the link to the boundary of the Milner fiber. Okay, this link is here. So if we look at U, is the open part of the singularity, so F0 minus this. If I remove the singular point from this fiber, I get a set which, this is a conical structure locally, bent conical structure. This open set U, which is the same open set as we had here, only I did it in the language of spec. So here I said X is the singularity, and I removed the origin. I did not say how big I took this representative, but here I've made a specific choice. And this set U is contractible on the set L. So the classes we are working with, this M and this N, they live in, so we have for our modules, these two classes, they live in the K theory, and now I take topological K theory. K0 of L and K1 of L. Of U is the U, but this is the same as K0 of L. Because U contracts is homotopy equivalent to the set L. That means that I expressed the things, the formula, express it in terms of the cohomology of this link L. Now look at what is the cohomology of this space L. Cohomology of space L. Now, L is the boundary of this Milner fiber. This Milner fiber is a manifold which has cohomology in only one spot. If you now write down the exact sequence for a space with its boundary and its boundary, then you will get the conclusion that the boundary can have cohomology in two spots, and because it's a manifold, these two groups are at the same dimension. So what you get is that the cohomology of L only in these degrees. The dimension of the manifold is odd. We have an odd dimensional manifold. It has, of course, zero cohomology and top cohomology. It's a compact, so this is the link, a compact 2m minus 1 manifold. And there are two different groups here, and these are Poincaré dual. These, of course, are the same, but by Poincaré duality or in you have classes in these two spaces. Now, of course, the claim is that the one class is in this space and the other class is in this space, and this is exactly what you need to apply Poincaré duality here. So you cannot take the same class here, two times the same class. So the Chern class of each member will land in both in the same group. But I need one class here and one class here. And this is already what I have got with these two classes. These will land in these two different groups. But I still have the problem, what is the meaning of this second class? This with the curly brackets. And I can now one gets the other gets. So I mean, one of these groups catches the one, and the other catches the other. Okay. But now I have need a different to get this formula with the linking. I need one extra statement, topological statement. And this is the following alternative topological description. This class. So, assume I have a matrix factorization. I have two matrices A and B. That means that I have this exact sequence where now not over the ring R, but over the ring P, the smooth ring. And this is a module, this lives on R, so R module. Now I've taken their representatives, a small epsilon ball and a small etc. Of course, if you have such a matrix factorization, some power series, convergent power series, or most of the time polynomials, then of course you can look at this object on this ball. It makes sense on this ball, and maybe you have to make the ball smaller. But in this matrix, you get some power series, and they converge on some ball. Let's assume it was that ball. Now, the point to see is that this matrix A is invertible outside the hypersurface X, or F0. Note that A is invertible on B, because the determinant of A is exactly the hypersurface where we are working on. So if I stay away from the hypersurface, the matrix A is invertible. Therefore, it gives an element in, yeah, in what group? In the K group, K1, it's an isomorphism, the K1 of, so it's an element in K1 of this outside, on this whole ball, I have an element in K1. You can, of course, restrict this element to a fiber. Some fiber FT. And you can, of course, restrict this to the boundary. It's here. So on this boundary of the Milner fiber, I have a trivial bundle, and on this trivial bundle, I have a non-trivial automorphism given by the matrix A. Now I can, so this is an element in this group. Now I can bring this boundary of the Milner fiber to K1 of the link. The claim is that the element you get here is the same as the element I talked about before. The element I talked about before was the algebraic element which gives this index. The element I described here is involving some topological construction. So you have the statement these two elements are the same in the topological K group of L. So, claim this element is, or, well, I define that in the algebraic K group if you map it from the algebraic to the topological K group. It's this, here's L. So, if you think about it, what this means, what you've done here is in fact something of the following type. You've started with a module. I've started with a module here. The module M. I've represented it with a matrix. I've seen it as a matrix A, the matrix factorization. This matrix A is invertible outside the singularity. Then I restricted it to the fiber and pushed it to the zero fiber back outside the singularity. So this is the process. And it's the same class as the class before. This involves a calculation, because here we need this map here, this contraction mapping. This is involving some transcendental thing. You cannot describe this algebraically, pushing. So you can, yeah. That means that you have to involve here some Hermitian metric to do this, and split some vector bundles, and split some sequences. Yeah. So now if you think about what you did, you started with an element in K0 and did the construction, you got some element in K1. So what you, in fact, we have defined the following. The mapping from K0 of L, say, or of U, K1 of U, so mapping gamma, and here, where the gamma and I can take the churn character, just the ordinary churn character from the topological, this is not topological. It take the churn character, you get to the even cohomology. L. You can write U or L, it's the same, they're homotopy equivalent. So what is this map? Small gamma, this is, if you retrace these steps, what you do is the following. So, you see, this L, this link lies in the sphere. The sphere has no cohomology, only in dimension 2 n plus 1. So basically it's a contractible space. So this cohomology space is the same as this cohomology space, isomorphic. And now I have the cohomology sequence of the pair. It says that also this is isomorphic. The cohomology of S minus L, and now there is a mapping, this push side mapping, which maps any cohomology class outside the link in the link. This map here. So this diagram commutes, and here we have on the cohomology the description I gave here with the bundle, and this statement is that it is the same element, which gives you that this diagram commutes. So what you have now is that you can write the corollary, the formula I had before. Yeah, so I think N must be odd in this case. In the even case, it's the other group. That's right. So here we need N odd. There are two cases. The corollary is of this is that you can interpret this index. First, we had it written as the dimension of the boundary of this class M. And M and N. Now we can use the churn character, and this is the gamma, so this is the dimension. So you see now the proof is just formal. And this is the same. Now I go to the churn character, which is multiplicative and commutes this map on K-theory with this push-aside map on the cohomology, you get the small gamma. So, and then this map, this is the map which evaluates to the integers. This becomes the Poincaré pairing of the module, of the class, the module M, the churn class of M, and the gamma of the churn class of N. So now you interpret it in the topology, and what this really is the linking number, churn class of M and the churn class of N. Because what you do here, this gamma map, this gamma map is taking, so if two cycles of the same cycles in the link, now I use the hypersurface F to push aside one of the cycles in the direction of the function. And you get one cycle lies in the complement of the, so they become disjoint. And they have the right dimension to link, and then I take the linking product of the two cycles in the sphere, which is the same as intersecting this on the link. This is the, so this gives a complete topological description of the process to get the index. So I think I stop here. There are some details here in which I don't want to go in now. Let me finish by remarking that if you have interpreted the index in this way, you can choose a connection on each bundle, on each associated to each matrix factorization, and then you can evaluate this churn class. And if you do that, you can express this churn character in terms of the matrices A and B. The result is very beautiful because it involves taking just the matrices A and B as they stand, and you differentiate them, dA, dB, dA, dB, and take the trace. And then you can do the same with the other with the other module, and then these matrices C and D, DC, DD, etc. And then you get some big differential form, and then you can evaluate that, and you get that formula, which was also discovered in physics, I think, but not with a proof. I claim you can prove it, but that it would be another talk. Okay, I think I stop here, and because I'm getting tired, and maybe people want to go do something. I stop.